Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey with you once again on the RPH Network. Normally at this time, we bring you the program Golden Generation. Well, we've now decided that it's time for a change, as times change, so to speak, and we have a new program. It is called Optimal Life. We're looking at those times when our lives begin to change from, say, work and family duties and head towards retirement. In this new program, we'll look at things like gentle exercise for seniors, perhaps alternative accommodation, downsizing, an over 55's lifestyle, funeral arrangements, have you made a will? And we got a wonderful new sponsor. It's called Seniors Rights Service, and they bring us wonderful free legal advice, such things as aged care services and advocacy, education for seniors, strata, legal advice, unit and townhouse living, complaints regarding nursing homes, aged care, which we've heard a lot about lately. Now, to help me with this program in the studio today, we have Virginia Collins. Virginia, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Dave. It's really exciting to be here. Thank you again for being a part of that 2RPH, and also being part of this program because it's a brand new thing.
It is, and it's quite exciting, isn't it?
I think it is. It's very well. It's also challenging because I have now been retired for a couple of years, and I know I thought about it a lot before I retired, and there was a lot of information about money, but not a lot of information about what it really means to be retired. So this program should fill in some of those gaps, I'm hoping.
Excellent. Now, Virginia, you're a recent volunteer here at 2RPH. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I used to work in adult education. I worked for an organisation that provided adult migrant education, so English language and literacy programs for adults.
Well, you've got to be ideally suited to a program like this.
Well, we hope so.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, what's coming up in our program today?
Well, today's program has an article on seniors, how they can obtain excellent legal advice, absolutely free. Some hints for dating for the over 50s.
Well, now that's interesting to me. I'm over 50. Well, such a start.
There's a good start there with the great hints that we're going to provide today. And also beware of scammers. They're getting very good these days.
They certainly are. Yeah. All right. We'll listen to this with interest.
All right. So to our listeners, have a pen and pad ready because we'll be giving you some helpful phone numbers and websites that you might like to write down. Firstly, something about our sponsors, Seniors Rights Service. So this is taken from the Seniors Rights Service website. You can find it at seniorsrightsservice.org.au. Seniors Rights Service is a community legal centre that protects the rights of older people. We provide telephone advice, advocacy, legal advice and educational services. Seniors Rights Service provides free, confidential advocacy, advice, education and legal services to older people in New South Wales. Our advocates assist recipients of all Commonwealth-funded aged care services, their carers or family members to understand their rights under the Aged Care Act 1997. We help them to advocate for themselves, to resolve issues and complaints with aged care providers to ensure optimal care is achieved. Our legal service provides advice, assistance and education to older people in New South Wales. Issues include consumer rights, debt management, unfair contracts, human rights, elder abuse, including financial discrimination, planning ahead, wills, power of attorney, guardianship, accommodation issues, granny flats, and other issues. Solicitors also provide advice to the residents of retirement villages, self-care units, and service departments about issues arising from disputes. Contact details. The phone number is 02-9281-3600, that is 02-9281-3600, or 1800-424-079, and the email at info@seniorsrightsservice.org.au. That was Seniors Rights Service protecting the rights of older people from their website.
Excellent, Virginia. Thank you for that. I must say they are very, very good. I had to contact them myself recently about a matter on My Body Corporate, and they really were excellent. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Okay, we're going to look at seniors dating now, and it's the seven things that we should all know about senior dating. Virginia, what should we know?
Well, I don't actually know myself, but I have got an article that's taken from www.zoosk, that's ZOOSK.com, and they say, can we tell you a secret? Dating is intimidating at every age, but it can also be fun, adventurous, and incredibly rewarding, especially senior dating. Make no mistake, dating is not just for young people. Dating is very common among adults who are older. If you're considering getting back in the dating game, you absolutely should. But before you make an online profile or start hitting the closest bar, here are seven things to know about dating when you're older. You're not alone. The media paints a picture of online dating as a young person's game. In reality, there are many senior citizens looking for love and companionship online. If you're thinking about trying online dating, don't let the idea that it's all young people stop you. There are plenty of people who meet your criteria just waiting for a message from you. Hint number two. First dates are different than they used to be, but that's a good thing. You're not a first-time dater. It may have been a while since you've been on a date, but chances are you're not new to romance and relationships, which means you'll be able to tell if you'll hit it off with someone pretty quickly. There's more honesty, less games, and fewer mixed signals when you're dating. And being able to assert what you want and what you don't want is a great feeling. Third hint, age doesn't matter as much. When you were in your 20s and 30s, dating someone a few years your junior or senior felt like a big deal. Many young people still dismiss potentially great matches because they're turned off by the idea of an age difference. But the older you get, the less age matters. Embrace it. It's incredibly freeing. And the fourth hint, looks matter, but not in the same way. Ask any young person what the most important part of someone's online dating profile is, and we guarantee they'll all say the same thing, their picture. But much like age, looks don't matter in the same way. Sure, older daters still want to find someone who's attractive, but they also know that there's more to someone than their appearance. Looks still matter, but appearance isn't the top priority, and it's rarely a deal breaker. Five, there are online dating sites and services specifically for you. These days, you can find an online dating app tailored to just about any type of lifestyle, interest, or hobby, and the same goes for older people who are dating. There are apps and matchmaking services that cater to helping seniors find love, romance, and partnerships. That said, you'll find older daters on just about every online dating app and platform. Like we said before, there are more people out there dating than you think. Number six is your priorities might be different. Younger daters focus on things like chemistry and common interests. And while those are still important things to look for, most people who are dating over 50 or 60 are more interested in other qualities, like someone they can have a great time with. Many may not even be looking for marriage, just companionship. The more you date as a senior, the more you may realise that your priorities have changed, and if they have, that's okay. And the final hint, number seven, be prepared for the return of your inner teenager. It may have been a while since you were last out in the dating world, and even though some things have changed, one thing hasn't. Firsts are still as exciting as ever. Remember the heart-pounding excitement of firsts? First phone call, first date, first kisses. When you're dating in your older years, you'll get to experience the rush of firsts all over again. If you find yourself blushing, grinning, or fighting back butterflies, don't worry. Those are all great signs. See, So-called senior dating isn't like dating was when you were younger. It's even better. And that was from www.zusk.com/date.
Virginia, that was great. You've made it all sound so interesting. We did a thing on senior dating a few months back here on the Golden Generation program, and one of the hints they gave, it's a little bit deceptive, they said it's better to explain that you're divorced rather than a widow or a widower. And their reason was, if you're a widow or a widower, you may still be hung up on your past partner. If you're divorced, it's all finished.
Well, thanks. Maybe. It depends on what the divorce was like.
That's right. You might be very poor.
You might be.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Virginia. Okay, as we get a little older, we like to travel a little. We've probably got more time to do it, hopefully a bit more money. Well, this is a bit of a warning. Measles are lurking. Australians going on an overseas holiday have been warned that deadly diseases eliminated in Australia have broken out in Southeast Asia. Dr. Vicky Shepherd, Director of Communicable Diseases at New South Wales Health System, said travellers need to ensure that they have their vaccinations before departing. Aside from cholera, typhoid and malaria, travellers should also be mindful of rabies, measles, sexually transmitted infections and polio. Dr. Shepherd said measles outbreaks are ongoing in Thailand and the Philippines. Anyone up to the age of 52 who has not had two documented doses of measles vaccine is encouraged to get vaccinated before leaving Australia. Dr. Shepherd said rabies, which is fatal if contracted, is a risk in much of Asia, including Bali and now in Sarawak. And while polio has been eliminated in most countries, New Guinea is currently undergoing a polio outbreak. A full course of polio vaccine and a recent booster is essential for all age groups travelling there. New South Wales Health also urges travellers to practice safe sex. Well, looking there, if you're travelling, measles and other diseases are lurking, so make sure you have your vaccines before you go.
You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network, and I'd like to share one of the information sheets from our sponsor, Seniors Rights Service, about what is and is not aged care advocacy. Aged care advocacy is a process of speaking up for or representing a person. It involves taking the side of the consumer. It involves the rights or entitlements of the consumer. It involves empowering the consumer. An aged care advocate will work with you by hearing your story, clarifying the issues, identifying your rights, identifying desired outcomes, providing information, providing possible strategies for action, identifying potential consequences of action, negotiating an action plan. And what it is not, aged care advocacy as conducted by Seniors Rights Service is not complaints investigation. According to the Australian Standards Complaints Handling, the central objective of a complaint handling process is to investigate and resolve complaints made by individual complainants. Mediation is a process of dispute resolution in which a neutral third party facilitates discussion between disputants to seek a mutually acceptable solution. Participation is voluntary. Mediator is neutral, does not take sides. The mediator does not impose a decision on the parties. And conciliation. The third party's role distinguishes mediation from conciliation. Conciliators are often expected to contribute their own views and opinions during the conciliation process. The role of the conciliator is to achieve a fair resolution of a complaint. The conciliator's role is not simply to encourage a settlement, but rather to participate in the process and ensure that the settlement reached is just. This is from the Seniors Rights Service website information sheet, What is and is not aged care advocacy.
Virginia, thanks very much for that. It's a most important subject, isn't it? Legalities and rights. Well, now you're going to read an article on scamming. And I think it's most important. It's getting more and more prevalent. We're just about all of us getting calls, scamming calls. And I heard a beauty the other day. You book into a hotel and next thing the phone rings. And the scammers rung up the hotel and said, could I speak to, say, room number 315? Receptionist puts you through. You answer the phone. You're in room 315. And he says, oh, hi, this is the front desk here. You just booked in. We just didn't get the numbers on your credit card. Could you just read them out to us? Our machine didn't bring them up clearly. And I thought, what a great scam. Mm. You'd obviously say, oh, fair enough. Yes, yes.
You would. Mm. And aren't they getting very, very clever?
Oh, look, they really
have to be very, very cautious. Beware of scammers.
Exactly. And I know you've got a bit of advice here for us.
I have. This is an article taken from www.theseniors.com.au. It's a story, Pay Up or Go to Jail. Just hang up. Pay your debt immediately or you'll be arrested. That's the line scammers are using to scare their victims into handing over money. New South Wales Police issued a fresh warning last week following reports that phone scammers impersonating police officers or Australian Taxation Office officials have been targeting people in the Camden area in Sydney. Queensland Police also issued a warning that in another scam, the victim has an outstanding tax office bill or debt that must be paid or they will be arrested. Usually, the scammers request this debt be paid via gift cards. To add to the authenticity, the caller identification number displayed is that of the local police station. It's unclear how the scammers are using the actual number. Police warn members of the public to be wary of any requests for personal details or payments made over the phone and urge people not to give out personal details or transfer money over the phone. The Australian Taxation Office will never threaten you with immediate arrest, ask you to pay money to receive or refund a payment, ask you to pay a debt via iTunes vouchers or prepaid credit cards or store gift cards, ask you to provide personal information such as your tax file number or credit card number via email or SMS, ask you to pay money into a personal bank account, direct you to download files from the internet or open attachments in unsolicited emails. ScamWatch has the following advice to stay safe from scams. If you receive a phone call out of the blue from someone claiming to be a representative of Telstra and the call relates to a problem with your internet connection, just hang up. If you have doubt about the identity of any caller who claims to represent a business, organisation or government department, contact the body directly. Don't rely on contact details provided by the person. Find them through an independent source such as phone book or online search. Remember that you can still receive scam calls even if you have a private number or have listed your number on the government's Do Not Call register. Link is external. Scammers can obtain your number fraudulently or from anywhere it has been publicly listed, such as in a phone book. Don't let scammers press your buttons. Scammers use detailed scripts to convince you they're the real deal and create a high-pressure situation to make a decision on the spot. Always keep your computer security up to date with antivirus and anti-spyware software and a good firewall. Only buy computer and antivirus software from a reputable source. Never give your personal credit card or online account details over the phone unless you made the call and the phone number came from a trusted source. Never give a stranger remote access to your computer, even if they claim to be from a reputable business. If you think your computer's security has been compromised, use your security software to run a virus check. If you still have doubts, contact your antivirus software provider or a computer specialist. If you think you have provided your account detail to a scammer, contact your bank or financial institution immediately. If you have lost money as a result of this type of scam, please report the matter to your local police station. You can also report to Scam Watch or by calling 1300 795 995. That's 1300 795 995. And Dave, you know, the first one they mentioned about the person impersonating a Telstra employee, that's exactly the call I've been receiving all this week. They keep ringing and saying, we are working for Telstra and we want to ensure your security.
So you've had the same call more than
once? I've had more than once, yeah.
They're persistent,
aren't
they? Yeah,
they're very persistent. Mm. And so they gave me some very long numbers to show that I could identify them.
Right.
And that's how I could prove that they were. If I put those numbers into my computer, then I would be able to find out that that, in fact, were legitimate. Well, if I put those into the computer, I would have lost the computer.
Exactly. So you did what you told us in that article. You just hung up.
I did. I did indeed.
Excellent.
So this was a really important, interesting article from thesenior.com.au.
And I know we said this before, but they are just getting better and better, these scammers. There'll be a new one next week, that's for sure, you can bet.
Unfortunately, I bet. Yes.
Okay, this is Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Now, Virginia, this time we've got something that I think all of us just about will remember.
Oh, darling. Life with Jeannie Little. Hello, darling. That voice, that hair, those huge eyes and false eyelashes, and those outfits. Jeannie Little was a personality personified. She burst onto our television screens and into our lounge rooms with her first appearance on The Mike Walsh Show back in 1974. And we didn't know what hit us. That raucous voice, the catch cry, hello, darling, would soon enter the Australian vernacular. She was an instant sensation, so much so that she won the Gold Logie for most popular TV personality just 2 years later. What must it have been like growing up with a mother who was known for fashioning outfits from squares of toast, rubber gloves, hot pink balloons, or plastic sandwich wrap? Jean Little's only child, Katie M. Little, explains life with her unconventional mother in a new book, Catch a Falling Star. Jean was pregnant with Katie when she first hit our screens, so this is a first-hand look at what it was like to be Jean Little and her darling daughter. I grew up backstage, taken everywhere with her, Katie writes. In my mind, I can retrace our steps as I held her hand and followed her into the labyrinth of Channel 9 studios. While we continued to laugh along with the stick-thin empress of fun fashion, Jean was later to show she had so much more to give. As unthinkable as it seemed to so many, she won a part in Jerry Herman's Australian production of the hit musical Jerry's Girls, in which she had to sing and dance. With help from her husband Barry and dancing tips from Katie, Jean set to work. That show was a hit. Fast forward to 2010 and Jean's name is again in the headlines. It is revealed she has Alzheimer's disease. In 2018, 10 years after diagnosis, my mother Jean Little is still alive, writes Katie, who is patron of the Jean Little Alzheimer's Research Fund. This heartbreakingly honest book will have you laughing out loud, shedding a tear, and being presented with a rare glimpse into the personal life of one of Australia's most beloved celebrity families.
What a wonderful story. I believe that Jeannie Little, I've never met her, but I believe she was just didn't act. That was just her. You did it so well, darlings.
I watched it a fair bit.
I know, we all loved her. And what a great picture there. You said she's got a dress made out of bottle tops, isn't it? And rubber gloves.
Yes, and balloons. How you do it, I don't know.
Thank you very much. A great tribute to a wonderful person. A little sad, although it sounds like they're doing some good work for Alzheimer's now,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Good on them.
So, Dave, we had seven hints for dating a little earlier, and I've just found this article with the most beautiful picture of a man I'd love to date.
Now, this is not a bit of bias from a female point of view.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Idris Elba, who I think is a fabulous actor.
Mm.
And I would date him, even though he is at least 40 years younger. Never mind. It talks about deep voices are healthy. So you and I are obviously healthy. So men with deep voices are healthier, according to a study that offers further reason for the sex appeal of husky tone stars such as Idris Elba. Scientists found that males with lower voices had more antibodies in their throats that fight off infection. It was previously thought women found men with the deepest timbre more attractive because it signified high testosterone and larger frames, which may have given men an evolutionary advantage. But a new study found those with a manly voice were also less likely to get ill. Throat swabs showed their bodily defences were better equipped to combat germs, a survival advantage making such men attractive to a potential mate. Well, now I know the scientific reason why I find Idris Elba very attractive.
So you're going to add that to your dating advice?
My dating advice, yes.
Excellent. Just before we go, though, I know you've got a special message.
I'd like our listeners to have a pen and paper handy so that they can write down the phone number and contact details for the Seniors Rights Service for anyone who is in need of legal advocacy, education, your rights, your voice. The phone number is 92813600. That is 92813600. That's a Sydney number, 02. Is the zone, or 1800 424 079. That's 1800 424 079. Interpreter service is on 131 450 if you want the interpreter service, and office hours are from Monday to Friday 9 till 5.
Virginia, thanks again for that item. Now, just before we go, we've almost come to the end of our program now. You've got a little more health advice.
Well, yes, because we are heading into a sleeping time. So snores bore holes in peaceful sleep. A peaceful night's sleep is becoming rarer after scientists discovered that heavy snorers have almost doubled in number over the past 20 years. Experts at London's Royal National Throat, Nose and Ear Hospital say soaring obesity rates and smartphone use could be behind the rise in rates of severe snoring. They found 7% of the population have sleep apnea, the most severe form of sleep-disordered breathing, compared to less than 4% 2 decades ago. Researchers examined 1,239 adults and found almost 4 in 10 snore at least 3 nights a week, with men the worst offenders. In findings published in the journal Sleep Medicine, they suggest increases in obesity and the use of smartphones may help explain the rise. Our results suggest that sleep-disordered breathing is widely underdiagnosed, and taking into account adverse health effects caused by untreated obstructive sleep apnea, this indicates an urgent need for policymakers to increase efforts addressing this problem, the report authors said.
Oh, wow. A few of us could relate to that. Virginia, thank you so much. Look, that's all we've got time for in our program today. You have been listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. And Virginia Collins, I would like to say a very, very big thanks to you for helping out.
And thank you, Dave, and goodbye to all the listeners.
And we'll certainly look forward to hearing from you again very shortly. Bye now.
Bye.